Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. We got a very special edition of the podcast this week, trying something new, and it's going to be a face-off. We're going to do this whenever we've got a really big matchup coming up, and this one is pretty much as big as they get. It's the first top 10 matchup in the of ACC teams since 2007, and this is also the first time that Florida State has been in the top four since October of 2005. So I'm going to be joined by Coley Harvey from the Orlando Sentinel and Travis Sawchick from the Charleston Post-Courier. And what you're going to hear over the next 20, 30 minutes or so is each of them describing what the team that they follow needs to do in order to emerge Saturday night victorious and take a lead in the ACC's Atlantic Division. So winning the toss, even though he didn't get to call a coin flip, is Coley Harvey from the Orlando Sentinel. He covers the Florida State beat, does it very well. His blog is The Chopping Block. You can find it on the Orlando Sentinel's homepage, and you can follow him on Twitter at OS Coley Harvey. Coley, you really have you've been pumping it all out, and as you just told me, you're doing it fighting under the weather. So even though he might be on the injury report as game time decision, he's been showing up every single day. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I wanted to defer on the coin.
Coley's a good friend of the podcast. He's been on before, so we're very, very excited to have you back. So the first thing that we're going to do, and this will lead off the podcast, is the keys to the game when Clemson has the ball. So I'm going to go ahead and sort of pitch it to you. What are some of the things that you've identified that Florida State's defense really needs to focus on in order to, you know, almost just try and contain what is promising to be a pretty explosive offensive attack?
Yeah, well, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention two words before anything else as far as Clemson's offense, and that's Sammy Watkins. You know, I mean, obviously that was the guy who everybody wanted to stop last season. He was the freshman of the year for so many publications. He, of course, was the ACC Offensive Player of the Year last year. And you're talking about a guy who caught, you know, 1,200 passes for more than 1,200 yards, also a guy who caught 7 passes for 2 touchdowns against the Seminoles last year. So they know that that's number one. That's kind of the prime objective, to figure out how to stop Sammy Watkins and prevent him from kind of going crazy in this year's ball game. And then probably number two, I would say, is is forcing Clemson to run the football. And you know, Clemson fans might actually like that, because Andre Ellington actually has been pretty solid so far this year, especially in that first game against Auburn. You know, he rushed for more than 220 yards on 25 carries. So you're talking about a guy who seems to be kind of turning the corner, so to speak. But at least for Florida State, I think that they want to force Clemson to run the ball, because of the two areas, passing and rushing, that's probably the weakest area for Clemson. And that's really not saying a whole lot. I mean, that goes to show you just how strong their whole offense is. But at the end of the day, because that is the weaker area, I think Florida State wants to force that issue a little bit more. And then also, just because Florida State, you know, has been so good against the run the last 2 years, this year, of course, but they haven't really played anybody, as we've said. But definitely the last 2 years, Florida State's been so good against the run. They were second overall last year in rushing defense. So I think that's kind of the second key, is to kind of force Clemson to run the ball a little bit more. And then the third key is just to contain Taj Boyd. You know, he is a very explosive weapon there at the quarterback position, can run, can pass, can, you know, make up on the fly, can do whatever he wants. You know, I think the Seminoles definitely want to make sure that they get their two defensive ends, Bjorn Werner and Tank Carradine. They want to get them into the backfield as often as possible, contain him, create a really strong, from a defensive standpoint, a really strong pocket, and not let him out of that. So if they can do those three things, stop Sammy, you know, force the run issue a little bit more, and contain Taj Boyd, they've got a really good chance to win this game.
I'll also say, you know, Taj Boyd, he's dropped a couple pounds on the offseason. He's become a more mobile quarterback, and he seems to be choosing to sort of be able to make defenses pay. I'll put a lot on Everett Dawkins as well, because, you know, being able to contain that the middle of that defensive line is going to be very important, because that's sort of one thing where Auburn, you know, they brought it all from the outside, and he was sort of able to slip up and get through one of those gaps, and that's going to be on those defensive tackles to make sure that those gaps aren't available for him to be able to slip out there.
Absolutely. You know, and in the first few games, that's been a little bit of the difference for Florida State. Obviously, Bjorn Werner is leading the country in total sacks, and Tank Carradine has 3.5 sacks himself. He's not too far behind. So obviously those guys have done a great job, at least from the outside, from the edge positions, and getting into the backfield and making stops. But probably the key to allowing them to do that is the fact that Florida State's interior, the defensive tackles, have gotten a lot of good push and have kind of hemmed in the quarterbacks that they face. Of course, Tanner Price last week could not get out of that pocket for Wake Forest because he was facing it not only from the edges, but also from the interior where you had Everett Dawkins and Anthony McLeod. Anthony McLeod, he's a guy who actually got hurt there in preseason. It might have been a blessing in disguise. He lost about 20 pounds during the injury as he wasn't practicing, but he was conditioning. And, you know, the Seminoles are obviously are very happy to see that. He's gotten another step or two. Even though he's over 300 pounds, he's still gotten a step or two there. And moves really well for a guy his size. So I think that, again, as we said, that injury might have been a blessing in disguise just because it got him a little bit quicker. So if you have that athletic ability on the inside, that ability for those guys to force the issue a little bit more, then, yeah, you're not really giving a quarterback, even a guy like a Taj Boyd, much of a running lane or a pocket to get through if things break down downfield.
Coley, I will say that I do consider you, of all the people that I know, one of the highest, most authorities on Florida State. Not only because you get to watch so much, but you got a great mind. And I wanted to ask you this. It seems to me like one of the defensive strategies that makes Florida State so good and so dangerous is they're great on the outside at cornerback, but they do, you know, they run almost like a press coverage and rush four only. Do you expect that, and because the front four is so good, it works, you know, but do you expect that they will run similar schemes, or do you think we'll see something a little less vanilla from Stoops and the defense?
No, you know, I think if we pop in the game tape from last week from the Wake Forest game, you're going to see the exact same defense for the most part. And the main reason why is because Clemson's offense is so similar to Wake's, and just that you have some of the moving parts and some of the motion plays and some of the screen passes and those kinds of things. You have a lot of those same kinds of formations and those same kind of plays that are running Clemson's offense as well. So I think we're going to see some of that. I don't think they're going to sell out a whole lot on blitzing. It's something that, Mark Stoops just does not like to do a whole lot. And it's something that fans were criticizing him over a little bit at the beginning of the year last year when Florida State was struggling defensively, but that's just not his style. He knows what works for him. And especially when you're facing a team like a Clemson, granted, Clemson's probably going to go down the field a lot. They're going to go for that big play, that home run, a lot on various passes. But Clemson also has the ability for those mid-range, those short routes, you know, underneath screen route kind of passes. And you can't blitz on that. You know, you blitz on that, you dump in a screen pass, and that's 30, 40 yards down the field for a guy like Sammy Watkins. So that's why I say I think we're going to see the linebackers still stay at home. The cornerbacks and safeties are going to play probably a lot of man, on the outside as well as deep downfield, but they're going to stay downfield. I don't think we're going to see very many blitzes from them. I think, like you said, because the front four is so strong and does a great job of getting the backfield, Stoops feels like he can get away with just rushing those four guys. So I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of blitzing, but we're going to see packages like that that are going to kind of, I guess, keep Clemson within that 5-yard radius, so to speak, of the line of scrimmage.
And now we're going to go to Travis Sawchick to talk about Clemson's offense. And we are moving to the other side of the ball and welcoming Travis Sawchick from the Charleston Post and Courier. Now let's go ahead and go into your keys for when Clemson has the ball. Got obviously tons of weapons on the outside. Sammy Watkins back into the routine rotation. And I want to hear from you. You know, just you've got this team through and through. You've always had a very good feel for what they do well and what they need to improve on also. And so I want to see what it's the key to winning this game on offense for Clemson.
Yeah, I think the number one thing is they have to run the football. I know that sounds like football 101, but against this Florida State defensive front, this athletic Florida State defense that leads the nation in a number of categories, Clemson has to avoid second and third and long situations where the defense could really put Taj Boyd in some precarious positions. And you know, Clemson's run a lot more pistol offense this year. That formation where the quarterback's in the hybrid shotgun and the running back's a few yards behind him, and that has given Clemson a more of a downhill running attack. It's allowed for the offensive line to a few more with those extra steps from the running back, allows the offensive line to create some more combination blocks. And it's been effective early on in the season. Clemson entered the year with a lot of questions on that offensive front. Only two starters returning, number of guys with really no experience being thrust into starting roles. But the running game has been pretty effective thus far. And Andre Ellington, the club's running back, just needs a little space. He's such a natural, quick, instinctive runner that he doesn't need huge gaping holes. He just needs a little space to run, and he can be effective. So that's number one thing, I think, for the Clemson offense. Two, Taj Boyd, he has to make the decisions. If you look at the second half of last season, Clemson lost some offensive balance. Ellington got a little banged up. The running game wasn't as good. And Clemson found itself in second and third and long situations against some good defenses like South Carolina. NC State was really effective at just getting pressure with its front four. So in those circumstances, Boyd really forced some throws, and the secondary is flooded with defenders. And he had 9 interceptions over the last 6 games after only having 3 in the first 8. So Boyd has to make good decisions. He can't force things against his Florida State defense. And the staff has praised him for his maturity of the past and making better decisions. And we've seen that early, but this is the best defense he's faced since South Carolina last November. So will it that progression of growth continue Saturday? I think that's the other big thing. And three, how good can Sammy Watkins be? Clemson has a chance, I think, because they have the best player in the field, and Watkins. This is a guy who can we've all seen how explosive he is. He can take a 5-yard curl and turn into a 70-yard touchdown. He can take a punt return to the house. So Clemson needs some big plays out of him for him to be a difference maker. Those are some of the things that really jump out at me as I look at this game.
When there was a time last year where I think – Chad Morris was always talking about the phantom pressure and Boyd's decision-making, and it definitely seems as though, especially against Auburn, if you want to look at a good mold for that, how much do you think he will have to make a play with his feet? And if so, do you think that's something that he wants to be getting into early? Because I thought that in the second half against Auburn, it was something that absolutely sort of crushed Auburn in that, if they opened up that pocket, he was able to step up, tuck it, and run. Do you see him being able to do that again? Because I'd almost be worried, if he starts taking some hits, if he tries to run around too much, that might play exactly into what Florida State wants.
Yeah, you're right that Boyd's legs were key in that Auburn game. He picked up some real important third downs in the second half with his legs, and he wasn't really much of a mobile threat last season. He wasn't comfortable running. He didn't make the best decisions when to run, when not to. But he lost weight in the offseason. He's quicker this year, and he has a better understanding of when to run, when not to, and just understand the offense. And that proved it's been effective early on this season. It's been important, and Chad Morris thinks Boyd's going to have to make more good decisions with his feet in this game for Clemson to have a chance, because this offense, I could have addressed pass protection as being another key to this game, and part of the pass protection is Boyd being able to navigate the pocket and knowing when to escape, when not to, when to step up, that sort of thing. But you're right, this is a different defense. It's not, Auburn was talented, but Florida State's an entirely different animal, more closing speed, bigger, stronger players, faster players, so I don't expect them to be as effective, but Morris thinks he is going to have to choose wisely when to run and where to run for Clemson to be able to move the chains in some key situations.
Do you think that it's possible that Sammy Watkins' sort of role in the offense has adjusted at all since last year? Because I ask because I wasn't really able to tell from last week. I mean, it was just it's a tough first game. It's a good first game to come back if you're Watkins, but I was wondering if he's sort of playing the same role, or if Hopkins sort of exploding in those first two games when he was gone, sort of how they play off of each other, if in Morris's offense, if they sort of had to adjust back into different roles when Watkins returned.
They didn't show much of their offense last week in Furman with Sammy being back following this 2-game suspension. But it's interesting that Morris went to Oklahoma State in the offseason to study their offense. And Not only is Oklahoma State one of the places you want to go to study offense since they're just so proficient, but also to study how they moved Justin Blackmon, their great receiver, around last year. Even though everyone knew Brandon Weeden was going to be targeting Justin Blackmon, he still had over 100 catches, and Morris was curious, you know, how'd you guys do that? So I think we're going to see Watkins being, he was a versatile player last year, but Clemson's going to even move him around more this year. He's going to play in a lot of variety of roles in the offense. And his suspension allowed Clemson to experiment more with him in some different roles this training camp, since he wasn't going to be with the first team the first few weeks. So expect to see Watkins involved more in the running game. Expect him to see him line up all over the field. And I think there's enough footballs to go around for him and DeAndre Hopkins, who's off to a great start. Hopkins is he's a great receiver in his own right. He'd probably be a number one receiver on most ACC teams, but he's been overshadowed just by the rare talent of Watkins. But Hopkins is a guy with great hands, great ball skills, and he's stronger and a sharper route runner this year. And Clemson's got a chance to have 2 1,000-yard receivers for the first time in school history this season.
Nuke is a baller, man. I think any team in the ACC would take him. He just seems – I mean, and you're right there with the team. He just seems to me like one of those guys that just goes out there and gets it done, just like a very – just a hard-working, business first, you know, just goes – like focuses on his craft, works on it. He seems like – you know, the terrifying thing is he seems like one of those players that will continue to improve. You know, this is so far from – where he can be just because of the leaps that he's made every single year that he's been on the roster.
Yeah, he has an edge to him, and he's a worker. He cares about the game, and he doesn't lose 50-50 balls. When the ball's up in the air, he just has this uncanny ability to go get it at its highest point, and he's got great hands. He can just snatch the ball away, and he's a heck of a number two receiver to have on a team. And then, this receiving group is one area that gives Clemson a chance to compete in Tallahassee this week. And it'll be interesting because Florida State's going to come with – or Clemson expects Florida State to come with some press coverage, which they don't see a lot of. And but Florida State's got big athletic corners. They have a defensive front that can get pressure. So it'll be interesting to see if Xavier Rhodes, you know, line them up with – trying to press Hopkins or Watkins. Can they beat him and get some big plays, or is Rhodes going to disrupt that – you know, the short passing game Clemson likes to use a lot. So there's a lot of games within the game Saturday. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
In fairness to the Clemson fans and in the nature of, you know, flipping sides at halftime, we're going to keep it right here with Travis as he begins to explain the keys when Florida State has the ball. So you will hear now what Travis said about the Clemson's defense and their keys to succeeding on Saturday. Yeah, it'll be really, really fascinating. Moving to the other side, you got Clemson's defense going up against a Florida State offense that has scored at least 50 points in each game of its 3-0 start, and I believe the first ACC team to start a season with scoring at least 50 in three straight victories. Now, granted, it was against Murray State, Savannah State, and then a Wake Forest team, which in my mind, just from watching the game, it seemed like they almost got, you know, they fell into a hole too quickly, and then it was too late. They sort of got put at that big deficit, and it was over early. I don't think Wake really ever had a chance after the first quarter or so. So we haven't seen a ton of Florida State's offense, but knowing Clemson, what do they need to do well in order to give themselves a chance to win on defense?
Yeah, this is the real problem area for Clemson, because as good as Florida State's defense is, I still think Clemson's going to put some points on the board. I don't think Florida State's going to hold them to a field goal or anything like that. But the Clemson defense against the Florida State offense has the potential to be a big mismatch. You know, one area of concern, I think, is the pass rush. Clemson ranks 99th in the country in sacks. And you look at their schedule, Clemson hasn't exactly played LSU and Alabama to begin the season. So you have to wonder, does Clemson possess the impact players up front to disrupt E.J. Manuel in the Florida State passing game? Clemson's also struggled against the run. They're 84th in the country in yards per game, and you know, I think Chris Thompson's averaging something ridiculous, like 14 yards a carry. Manuel's more involved in the running game this year. That's another concern. So I think there's all sorts of issues up front that, you know, this Clemson front seven really has to prove some things in Tallahassee if they're going to keep the offense within striking striking distance. And going into the year, you know, we saw the Orange Bowl, that performance, defense has been an issue for months. There's a change in coordinator, there's a new scheme in here, but I still think there are many personnel issues because it's a young front seven, a lot of inexperience, and the only senior up front, Malachi Goodman, hasn't proven to be a difference maker to this point. So I think this is, you know, that matchup is for Clemson's front seven against the Florida State offense. I think that's the real area where Florida State could have an edge.
What is sort of the biggest differences that you've seen in the positive way that Brent Venables has brought to the Clemson defense? Or is, you know, like you've said, the statistics aren't great from what we've seen so far. Have you been able to tell any noticeable improvements moving into Venables' new scheme?
Yeah, I think one area where the team seems to be more proficient is there's not as much confusion on in getting plays called in and getting lined up. Under Kevin Steele, the former coordinator, he had an NFL background. He'd been under Saban, so I think he tried to do a lot of complex things. And with a veteran defense, that worked well. With, you know, last year's defense didn't work so well. And I think we've seen the players be able to grasp the scheme a little easier this year. And there seems to be less communication conflicts out on the field. But, you know, to be fair to Venables, Clemson lost two second-round picks in the NFL draft last year. That defensive tackle, Brandon Thompson, was a great player in the first half before he got injured. And Andre Branch was a 10-sack guy off the edge at defensive end. So Venables doesn't have as much to work with as Steele did last year. And, you know, that was still a defense that really struggled at times. So it's probably not too fair to judge Venables just 3 weeks into his tenure at Clemson and this inexperience he's working with. Yeah, there's a lot of struggle. Still, there's a lot of troubling statistical numbers out there on that Clemson stat sheet.
Well, after week one, you know, when it was time for everybody's overreaction, snap judgments, and, you know, everything that we'd be proven wrong about, I looked at the Clemson's defense just sort of really coming up big against Auburn to be able to deliver a stop, which essentially sealed the game. And I was just like, wow, you know, this is really awesome. 3 weeks down the road, now I'm looking at it, maybe that was a little bit of Auburn not knowing what they're doing as well. But if they can get that kind, if they can get into the backfield, if they can cause some confusion, if somehow, you know, if that wasn't just Auburn not knowing what they're doing, but Clemson's defense really stepping up and playing above their heads, it's like we'll need the defense of that last drive for four quarters in order to be able to limit Florida State. I just sort of see it as like every time you can get Florida State to punt, that's going to be a little bit of a win with how talented the Clemson offense is. Like you said, they're not going to get held to a field goal. Touchdowns will be scored. It's just really going to be, you know, can you stop that rushing game? Can you get the ball back in Boyd's hands?
Yeah, I think you're right. They don't need to be great. They just need to come up with a few stops and hope the Clemson offense is as good as it was last year against Florida State. But yeah, you know, I felt the same way after the Auburn game. Like, wow, maybe this Venables scheme is really it's going to be effective. It's going to be a solution. But then every week we've seen Auburn play it. I've grown less confident in that performance, and I think it's had less meaning. So we need Auburn and Wake Forest to play in a neutral field to see who's played the weaker schedule.
All right, well, let's see.
In that sense, there's still a lot to learn about these teams because look at these schedules. I mean, I don't think any of these teams is played a real standout opponent today. So it's going to be an interesting first test for both of these teams in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, neither team's starters have made it to the fourth quarter since Clemson, not since the Auburn game, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and Florida State, not at all.
The first half against Fall State and about two and a half quarters against Furman, I think.
Yeah, and Florida State, not at all. They haven't made it through. I don't even know if they've made it through a full three quarters yet. But all right, so let's talk about one under the radar player on Clemson that you sort of got as an X factor. Coley said his was Tyler Hunter, the nickelback, because of the, you know, the importance of lining up in the slot. You don't know whether you're going to get Hopkins, Watkins. Who's your guy on Clemson? That guy that's not being listed by any of the talking heads who can step up and make a difference.
I don't think it's any of the offensive guys because we know the usual suspects there to succeed, it's going to be Watkins, Hopkins, Ellington, Boyd, some combination of those. If they have a banner day, it's going to be because of those guys. But on defense, I'm looking at a guy like Stephon Anthony. Here's a five-star recruit in the 2011 class who's become the starting middle linebacker this year. And is, you know, there's a lot on you learning that position as a first-year starter in a new scheme. And Brent Venables said there's actually been some regression from the way he was playing in the last year because, okay, here's a whole new philosophy. You have to learn a lot more zone concepts, all sorts of things. So there's been a little transitional setback there. But this is week, you know, we're going into week four. He's at a training camp. So I think we should begin to see some growth from Anthony. And what better time to play like a five-star recruit than in this game? He had a key fumble in the ACC title. He forced a key fumble in the ACC title game last year. And he's got the instincts and speed and strength and size to be a three-down impact linebacker. And Clemson really needs to find an impact defender this year, and I think he's the best candidate to emerge as one.
Wasn't Florida State on his shortlist heading it? Because he was a signing day announcement, right?
Yeah, him and Stewart, I think if you go back to that signing day 2011, they're both signing day decisions, and they both went to Clemson's way. And I think Florida State was both on the short list. I'm trying to remember. I know Stewart was, you know, Florida State was in on Stewart. I think they're in on Anthony, too.
Yeah.
Not... You're testing my memory.
But, hey, I'm testing my own. I have memories of that 2011 signing day just being blown away that, you know, all the, just at these players that kept committing to Clemson. I mean, that was the beginning of what we're seeing now as far as Clemson being a top 10 team. Well, I guess you could even go back to the 10 class, right?
Yeah, the 10 class was solid. It was the 11 class that really, you know, that was, you know, four or five-star guys. Wow. I mean, they get a lot of attention for that class, and we've already seen Watkins become a star out of that class, and Anthony's a starter. But then Mike Bellamy transferred. He was one of the five stars, and Tony Stewart, the other five-star linebacker, he's dealt with a couple ACL tears, so he's been set back. So even though that was a, you know, a banner day, it still shows you that, hey, not every five-star is going to come in and impact your program right away.
Do you have a game score for me?
Yeah, I was surprised to see Florida State favored by two touchdowns. I mean, I like Florida State in this game, but I was like, wow, there's no public confidence in Clemson at all. So I'm thinking 37-30 Florida State, 39-31, something like that. I'll go 37-30. I'll give you a number.
I'll go ahead and tell you mine, but it's not going to make you happy. I've got 42-24. I think that I could see Florida State so I could see the revenge factor sort of kicking in, and I could see it being one of those 10 points scored in the fourth quarter because of, you know, a breakdown here and there after, you know, like a couple stops. I think it's going to be close for three quarters. You know, we hit the fourth quarter at 30-24, 27-24, and then a couple big stops, couple big plays, and Florida State pulls away late.
Yeah, I mean, it's a plausible scenario. And, you know, if Clemson's offensive line can't hold up at all, it could be a they could revisit the 2000 game, I suppose, where Clemson entered ranked 10th, Florida State was 4th in Tallahassee, and Clemson lost 54-7. I don't think that's going to happen, but if the offensive line is if it reverts to what we thought they were going to be in this defense implodes, and I suppose that's possible. But I think Samuel Watkins makes some plays. I think the offense scores some points. I just think Florida State's a little – they're the more balanced team as we head into this game. So I do like Florida State, but I'll take Clemson on the points.
All right. Well, he is Travis Sawchuk. You can follow him on Twitter, Travis_Sawchuk. And all of his stuff, all of his work at the Tiger Tracks, the Charleston Post and Courier, Clemson blog. You in anywhere else where you want to direct listeners to?
No, I think you did a good job. I appreciate directing traffic.
I told you, man. If my RSS feed is somehow like helping you out with CPMs, then you know that's all I can do.
I appreciate it, man.
And now, taking us home, Coley Harvey talking about that Florida State offense. Moving to the other side of the ball for Florida State, when they are going up against Clemson's defense and E.J. Manuel's under center, what are some of the keys to be able to make sure they continue that extremely potent offensive streak? Because I'll tell you, putting up 50-plus points in three games in a row, it's the first time an ACC team has ever started with that, right?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. It is something like that. I'm not too familiar with that particular statistic, but I do know for Florida State, it's the first time they've gone 3-0, since, wow, I just had a mind blank. I mixed two things up. They've gone 3-0 for the first time since 2005, which was, of course, the year they won the ACC championship, and then also the first year since 1964 that Florida State has not given up a touchdown in those three games. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah.
so you're talking about a team that defensively is good enough in that regard, but offensively, yeah, it's kind of amazing when you stop and think about all the number of points that they've put up so far early on. Right now, they're outscoring opponents 179-3. Which is kind of mind-boggling. But then, even if you go back to last year, going back to the Duke game last year, which was the first game after Florida State lost that three straight streak where they lost to Oklahoma, Clemson, and Wake Forest. If you go back to that game against Duke, that's 11 games ago. Florida State has outscored opponents 38-8, or somewhere in there. It's give or take a decimal point here or there. But essentially, they've outscored opponents 38-8 in those 11 games, and they've only lost one. And, of course, that was to Virginia. So a large part of that is the offense. A large part of that is E.J. Manuel being able to maybe better understand how to diagnose his offense, how to lead his offense. Part of it, at least for this season, is the running game. The running game has definitely been a real factor here these first three games, particularly last week against Wake Forest, where, Chris Thompson rushed for, 187 yards, I believe, is the official number, or actually 184 yards on just two carries. Of course, he had the big 80-yard touchdown run and another long touchdown run as well in the first half of that game, and he had 197 yards on the ground in total. So you're talking about you're talking about a running back who's gotten going, but you're also talking about a quarterback in E.J. Manuel who's finally gotten his legs up underneath him, at least as far as running the option and leading some of the running plays that Florida State has for him. And, of course, he's been passing well. Of course, he didn't look so good in that game last week against Wake Forest, but for the rest of the way, he's been pretty strong. He's still leading the ACC in completion percentage. He, right now, if he were to end his career right now, he would still be among the top three all-time in completion percentage in the ACC. So, you're talking about a guy who has been under a little bit of heat from Florida State fans in his time in Tallahassee, but he's a guy who is improving, and he's a guy they're going to need to really come along this weekend if Florida State's going to win.
What is the, in your mind, what do you think the identity of the, and not that, I don't like using buzzwords and leaning on them as crutches, so I hope it doesn't sound that way, but like E.J. Manuel said heading into the Wake Forest game, he thought they'd only use 30% of the playbook, and then all of a sudden you see the option against Wake Forest, you see all these different wrinkles, you got a stable of running backs, you've got, unbelievable talent and just sort of physical, great physical, almost specimens. Just the height and speed on the outside. What is the identity of this offense, or what do you think it should be if it's not?
Well, I think we're still learning that. I feel like Jimbo probably has a good idea of what it is, but I think for the rest of us, we're still kind of learning that. And the main reason is because, as you said, we haven't seen a whole lot of the playbook. E.J. Manuel said after the first two games, he said, you guys have only seen about 3% of the playbook. Then we asked him this week, well, how much has it been, how much have we seen after the Wake Forest game? He said 4.8% of the playbook. So they've got a lot of wiggle room left to go in there, and I think that's why we really don't know. But I think Florida State has always been a very balanced team as far as running the football and passing the football, or at least they've tried to be balanced. I'll put it that way. They've tried to be a really balanced team in that regard. Hasn't always happened that way, statistically speaking, just depending upon the opponent and the opposing defense. But so far, that's kind of been Florida State's identity. Granted, they rushed the ball a lot more last week, and that's partly because the passing game wasn't quite as in sync as it had been before. But the first couple of weeks, they seemed pretty balanced on both sides of the ledger. And then, in fact, against Duke and Maryland last year, You know, I think in both of those games, there was something like a grand total of 20 or 30 yards off in differential between the passing game and the running game as far as the offensive yards in those two games. So you saw where that offense could be really balanced, you know, at times last season. So that's always kind of been their identity, at least what they've tried to be. I think this year we're going to see them become a lot more of that. Now the running game is playing a little better. The offensive line is blocking a little bit better as well. You know, E.J. Manuel, of course, as we said, continues to seem to develop. But yeah, that's a good question. I think it's one that we still aren't 100% sure about, though.
And we all know E.J. Manuel. We all know Bjorn Warner. But the question that I've got for you is give me one under-the-radar player to watch who really can either emerge or just a player that no one's talking about that needs to step up in order for Florida State to win.
Well, I think last year when we talked about it, I think LaMarcus Joyner was my pick, at least going into the season, you and I, when we talked about it. And LaMarcus ended up having a pretty decent season. So I'm going to hope that my pick this time does the same thing and has a really good ball game. And I'm going with Tyler Hunter. I think that the nickel cornerback position is one that doesn't get talked about a whole lot at Florida State. It's one that more than a lot of college teams, actually Florida State probably uses it more than most teams in college football. You know, Mike Harris, who got drafted last year from FSU, who played for the Jaguars now, he actually said, that was one of the advantages that a lot of NFL teams saw in him, is that he already played that position. He had a good understanding of that position. He wasn't just an outside cornerback who had to be moved inside and taught the inside spot. And so because Florida State does a lot of that, I think that's going to make a lot of their nickel corners really attractive to professional teams here in the next few years. But particularly with Tyler Hunter going into this game, you're talking about a guy who is a physical, and as his teammates say, confident, loud individual when he's on the field. And that's how you have to play that position. You can't be scared to, you know, to stick your nose in and, you know, and deliver the hit when you have to deliver the hit. But also in man-to-man defense, you can't be scared to, you know, to really check that slot receiver, because, of course, that's probably where you might have some of your more versatile receivers playing. You know, you'll have guys who are the shifty guys, the quick guys, the you know, the guys who like to put their hands on you. You're going to see Sammy Watkins play in the slot some this weekend. You know, so it'd be one of those deals to figure out, you know, how good he can be as far as protecting that. And I think if he plays the way that he has so far this year, which has actually been really under the radar, and the reason it's been under the radar is because, you know, teams haven't been throwing his way. Michael Campanaro, of course, Wake Forest's leading receiver, came in with 22 receptions last week. He only had two this past week against FSU, and a big reason why is because Tyler Hunter was playing him, you know, in that nickel slot position. So I think we're gonna see him emerge. I kind of think that he's going to be a big key to the ball game, depending on how well he plays on some of those receivers. I think that'll help dictate you know, Florida State success. And personally, he's my pick as a guy who's kind of under the radar who might really emerge in this ball game.
And do you have a game score for me?
Game score? Honestly, this one, I have no idea. You know, I had a much better idea last week, I felt like, although that one went out the window. I predicted like 38-10 or 38-13, and Florida State rolled 52-0, of course, over Wake Forest. So I don't know. This week, I think it's going to be a lot closer. I do believe Florida State's probably going to win. I just think that overall they have the horses that Clemson, the Seminoles have the horses that Clemson doesn't. But, gosh, I don't know, man. You put me on the spot there with that one. I'd like to say it's probably going to be something like a 34-24 or 34-27, somewhere in there. I think that Clemson definitely will get on the scoreboard, and you know, but I think Florida State's defense will do just enough to hold on and win that ball game.
I've got 42-24 Florida State, for the record.
Wow, you're a bold man, you know. But you might be right.
I just Florida State's played so far. Yeah, well, I think that they're the one thing, and Tyler Hunter plays into it. I was just gonna say, you know, like linebackers, safety LaMarcus Joyner, you know, especially Christian Jones. I say Florida State has what so many teams do not, and that is the versatility to make sure that Clemson's 4-yard gains do not become 40-yard gains. Because in my mind, that's the biggest threat that they pose, is the ability for any one of those players to take a quick slant, you know, just a short route, and be able to just bust it wide.
Yeah. And one other thing that Florida State has that, you know, if you're a Clemson fan, you hope the Tigers kind of develop, is a chip on his shoulder. It's pretty clear, just in talking with the players this week, that they were pretty upset with what happened last year. I don't think they're really trying to take that game, so to speak, into this one and use it as revenge, so to speak. But I do believe that they really felt like they didn't play their best ball game at Clemson last year. And so they have a little second or third gear to their mentality that maybe Clemson doesn't, because, you know, Clemson, of course, is coming off of that win, and the Tigers also were coming into hostile territory. So I think those factors combined, that could make it make for a pretty long night for Clemson as well. You know, so FSU fans probably would like to see that at least.
It'll be a sold-out stadium at Doak Campbell Field, and you know that Coley Harvey will be there. So be sure to follow him on Twitter throughout the game. And if you're not already, just in general, for all your latest Florida State knowledge, OS_Coley Harvey. Coley, thanks so much. And hopefully, you know, I'd love to have you back. You know, hopefully we'll get another big marquee game on the horizon.
Yeah, I think there's one in Blacksburg, Virginia that might be looming here in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, we'll definitely tune back in when we get a chance.
All right, thank you, man. Thanks so much. Well, this about wraps up our first face-off heading into a big premier matchup, and we'll hopefully do this again. Please let us know in the comment section on iTunes or on the blog post what you think about it, or feel free to email your response to podcast@cbsinteractive.com. For Travis Sawchuk of the Charleston Post and Courier, Coley Harvey of the Orlando Sentinel, I am Chip Patterson, cbsports.com. Y'all take it easy.